This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Have you ever wondered what a dinosaur does in a day? What they actually really look like? What colour were they? Well, these and other questions will be answered in The Colour of Dinosaurs, a rip-roaring prehistoric science pop gig for curious humans of all ages at Polka Theatre in London. Joining me now here on RNIB Connect Radio is the composer of The Colour of Dinosaurs, Lloyd Coleman, who is not only a composer, musician, but is also the associate music director of the Power Orchestra. Hello, Lloyd, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Lovely to be here.
Am I right in thinking that the sort of, I suppose, the idea for The Colour of Dinosaurs came from a chance meeting with a paleontologist?
That's exactly right. It was a chance meeting about 3 years ago. I have a friend in Bristol called Dom Coyote, who is directing The Colour of Dinosaurs and is also in it and is an amazing theatre maker, performer, musician himself. And we went out for dinner. And over a bottle of wine, we were having a chat, and Dom actually asked me about my vision impairment and the nature of my vision impairment, which is nystagmus and ocular albinism. And I had to explain to Dom a little bit about what that actually meant in practice and what I knew about my own condition. And I'm sure many of your listeners will know that ocular albinism is essentially an inability to produce melanin. So I have very, very pale skin, very fair hair. My eyes are very sensitive to bright sunlight and any kind of bright lighting. So I was telling Dom about this and he was like, oh, that's super, super interesting, because I met a guy called Jakob Winter recently, who is a paleontologist and was the first person in the world to essentially work out what colour the dinosaurs were. And he did that by studying the melanin compound or the melanin pigment that is preserved in dinosaur fossils. So he would dig them out of the ground and study them under the microscope. And Jakob and a team of scientists at Yale University about 15 years ago discovered this technique and this way of being able to reconstruct a really accurate picture, or as accurate a picture as anybody has been able to kind of make so far, of what colour the dinosaurs were. And of course, when Dom was telling me this, I was immediately kind of hooked and really wanted to know more. And Dom said, oh, well, I'll put you in touch, because me and Dom both live in Bristol. And Jakob lives and works in Bristol as well. Jakob is a renowned lecturer and scientist at Bristol University. And a couple of weeks later, I went for coffee with Dom one morning at a local bakery. And he was like, oh, yeah, I keep meaning to put you in touch with Jakob. I need to make that introduction. And who should walk through the door 10 minutes later, completely by chance, but Jakob. I know that sounds unbelievable. It's absolutely true. Like, it was just this kind of serendipitous meeting. And Dom was like, this is the universe telling us something, that actually we need to work on something together. You know, you've got this amazing paleontologist and two musicians and theatre makers here who both Dom and I have always been interested in making work that is inspired by human stories, of course, but also by kind of complex scientific ideas as well, and kind of using music and theatre to be able to break down those ideas. And so the moment I met Jakob, it was just clear that, you know, he's both an amazing human being, a supremely talented scientist and paleontologist with a gift for communicating these quite complex ideas. And over the next 3 years, we started making this show, which is now called The Colour of Dinosaurs. And we performed it in Bristol last October. And we're now doing it at Polka Theatre, the first time we're doing a run in London, as you say. And it's just been an absolute joy, start to finish, kind of making this show, working with Jakob and bringing together a cast and a team of theatre makers and musicians to kind of enliven and kind of bring this amazing science and this amazing discovery to life.
Were you interested in dinosaurs as a child? Because I know many children seem to be fascinated by dinosaurs.
You know, it's really interesting. I am interested in dinosaurs now, but I can't remember being like completely obsessed by them, which is interesting because I know, as you say, there are you know, show me like a 6 or 7 year old nowadays who doesn't have like a dinosaur coat or doesn't love eating, you know, dinosaur shaped food or isn't just completely fascinated by the idea of dinosaurs and what they were and how they kind of roamed the earth all those millions of years ago. So I wouldn't say it was an obsession of mine, but certainly I find dinosaurs and paleontology and the ancient world really, really interesting.
And there are many catchy songs in The Colour of Dinosaurs, along with mind-blowing science as well. Would you mind just giving me a sort of, I suppose, an insight into the look and sound of The Colour of Dinosaurs and maybe a hint of some of that sort of mind-blowing science that's in the show?
Sure. So the conceit of the show is that there are 5 musicians in a band and we welcome our audience into a space which is a kind of a dinosaur wonderland, I suppose, and we, as the band, and we're all playing versions of ourselves. So I'm playing a version of Lloyd, Dom is playing a version of Dom, Victoria is playing a version of Victoria. We're all kind of playing our real life selves in the band. But we're constantly bickering about dinosaurs and what colours they were, and constantly bickering over what our band name should be. Oh, should we be called T-Rex? No, there's a band already called that. Or should we be called this, that and the other? And it's kind of, there's a dialogue and a sense of fun and curiosity that is established right at the top of the show. And near the top of the show, Dom then introduces Jakob into the picture, into the theatre, because we keep arguing over what colour the dinosaurs were. And Dom was like, oh, actually, I know a guy who can sort this argument out for us. And so then Jakob comes in and starts unpacking how he made this discovery of what colour the dinosaurs actually were. And as I've already explained, that was essentially by taking the melanin pigment out of the fossils, the fossilised dinosaurs, and studying those under the microscope. And to give an example of kind of one of the more irreverent moments in the show, I remember when we were chatting to Jakob in developing the show, he told us about looking at the melanin underneath the microscope and telling us that the melanosomes, which are the kind of cells that contain the melanin, looked a little bit like tiny sausages and meatballs. Now, you can probably see where I'm going with this. Like, actually, immediately my theatre-making brain and my sort of child brain went into, well, we've got to have a song called Sausages and Meatballs, a kind of, you know, call and response song about that, which we did. And it's a really funky number and just really a fun and hopefully a helpful way of actually being able to unpack quite a complex idea for a 6-year-old. Or a 7-year-old. I mean, you know, not all 6 and 7 year olds, but some people might struggle with cells and melanosomes and melanin and what is a compound and what is a pigment and how does that change the colour of my hair and my skin and how does that cause a vision impairment in my case. So we use kind of metaphors and visual imagery like that to kind of help explain the science and explain the story. And just occasionally, because we're all musicians and because we're all big children, really, we get a bit carried away with ourselves. So, you know, meatballs and sausages, that's a kind of funky Barry White-esque number that just kind of gets carried away. And actually, you know, Jakob has to keep bringing us back to, yeah, but guys, actually, here's the science and I've got more to tell you and I've got more facts to tell you about dinosaurs. So that hopefully gives you a little kind of flavour of the tone of the show. It's not a science lecture, but it's not a musical either. It's kind of, well, it's exactly as you described it at the top, Toby, a science pop gig. So there are pop songs and there are ballads and there are funky tunes and there are, you know, loads of moments of audience interaction to keep the thing kind of licking along, but with a whole load of real life amazing paleontology and fossils and science as well.
And working as a composer, do you sort of have an idea of the sort of song you're going to write? Do you think about the words or the music first? Or like in The Colour of Dinosaurs, is it the sort of the overall theme that you're thinking of and then the sort of songs and the tunes come?
Really interesting question. I think it's a number of different ways, really. I think I'm really interested in collaboration on whatever project I'm working on, whether it's a score for a radio drama or whether it's a new piece for the concert hall or indeed, you know, for the theatre, that's extremely important. You're writing for performers, but you're writing for an audience as well. And in this case, you're trying to convey a message or tell a story for a particular audience. It's really important to say we had a wonderful writer on the show called Malaika Kagodi, who's not in the show, but helped us put together the kind of narrative and helped to kind of translate the scientific ideas and the human ideas that we're exploring in the show into a kind of working script. And sometimes I would start with her words and write a song from that, using the kind of the rhythm of the words and the rhythm of sometimes quite, in this show, quite long names of dinosaurs, you know, Sitakosaurus, Tyrannosaurus Rex. These are all words that you can have fun with, quite sort of percussive and rhythmic words that actually I've tried to kind of lean into in the score. But I think people who know my work from Parrot Orchestra and have kind of listen to my other work for the concert hall, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised, I hope, about how this is a bit of a departure for me, and this is really me letting my hair down and having fun. And I think I'm really inspired by people and impressed by people who can write a good tune. I believe in the power of a good tune, and I'm completely unashamed about that. And so in this show, I've tried to write music and songs that are attractive and memorable and catchy. You know, I think rule number one of a show like this has to be you want to have the audience going out the door and going home with the tunes in their heads. And certainly on the evidence of the show that we did in Bristol, which was a slightly smaller version of the show that we're doing in Polka, a lot of people have come up to me telling me, oh, you know, I can't get that song out of my head, which is mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned.
No, I know. I was listening. I think it was a YouTube video or as a trailer online, and very catchy as well. And it's nice that you said you got Victoria, who was part of the team as well, and she's performing as well in the show. And it's really good, for you two to both be working again together, but also for audiences of all ages to see both blind and partially sighted and disabled creators and performers, which, you know, in a way should be the norm, but it's great that people are actually being able to see that on stage.
Thank you for saying that, Toby. And I think that's a really important part of the show and why we made it as well. Victoria came into the picture quite early on in this show because, as you say, we've worked together before. We're very good friends. And we were chatting on the phone in a similar way to how me and Dom, you know, kind of got talking about this over dinner. Me and Victoria were talking at a time when Victoria was in London, I was in Bristol, but the whole world was essentially in lockdown. This was kind of late 2020. And we were talking about some quite, you know, deep things, especially Victoria, for people who don't know, is an amazing soprano and has also trained as a psychotherapist, interestingly. Like, super interesting and a multi-talented person and artist. She was born in Nigeria and is an opera singer and relocated to the UK in her teens and studied here and studied classical music and opera here, and has an amazing voice that I defy anyone to be kind of moved by Victoria's voice when they hear it. But she has this ability as well, which I thought was great for this show, to be able to switch between opera and more kind of pop and music theatre. And Victoria and I were talking a lot about identity and about our vision impairment, about race. You know, there's a bit of that in this show as well, called Melanin. You can't talk about melanin without talking about race and how melanin essentially governs the colour of our skin and the skin tone and the type of skin tone that we have. So that's another sort of interesting angle that we get into a little bit in the show. You know, me as a white man with very pale skin, I have a different relationship to melanin to Victoria as a black woman born in Nigeria. But the other interesting thing about Victoria, and one of the moments I think that is the most moving moments in the show, is I wrote her a song called Different Voices, Different Colours. And that's because Victoria has a condition called synesthesia, which is the ability to turn sound, to turn someone's voice or the sound of an instrument or the sound of birdsong or the world around us into colour. And so Victoria associates colour with sound and sound with colour. They're kind of inextricably linked. And me and Victoria both agreed that, you know, that this should be a really important part of the show, like actually to have this moment in the show where you have a person singing about this condition and for children to be able to learn about Victoria's experience of the world in neither a positive nor negative way. You know, this is not a show that's just like kind of glossing over the less positive parts of being a disabled person it celebrates both the extremely positive things about being a disabled person and a vision impaired and blind person, but also touches on some of the more complex ideas around that identity and that lived experience. But I think it's a real, especially for the parents, it's a real tearjerker. I don't want to give too much away about the moment in the show that I'm talking about. I'd love people to come and see it. But I think it really, in a very simple but powerful way, just allows Victoria to kind of express her view and her perspective and her experience of the world as a blind person who can also sing, who you can use her voice in this amazing way to stir people's emotions, but also associate it with colour. All comes back to colour in this show, and experience of colour and perception of colour and vision, as well as the more kind of irreverent dinosaur dancey bits.
And what sort of, I suppose, feedback have you had from not only the Running Bristol, but what would you like sort of audiences of all ages who are going to come and see The Colour of Dinosaurs to get out of it?
Yeah, I think, well, this is one thing I'm really keen to get across, because Polka Theatre, where we're doing it, is a children's theatre, and they have many, many years of experience with making work for children and young people. And of course, children aged 6+, more than welcome, and some younger as well, if parents or guardians are comfortable with bringing younger children. It's a relaxed performance. It's not a kind of sit down and stay still and shut up performance, as I hope is obvious. But I'm really keen for your listeners, if you're there and you don't have children or you don't have any young people you'd like to bring with you, please come anyway. I really sincerely mean that, because I think there is something in this show, there's a message in this show and an emotional undertow to the show, if you like, that will appeal to the adults as well as to children. So please don't feel embarrassed or ashamed, because so many of my friends have been like, oh, I've not got any young people to come with. And I'm like, that really doesn't matter, because our experience in Bristol was that the adults found it as entertaining in their own way as the children. And I think we really want to kind of, you know, make more of that this time round when we're doing it for 4 weeks in London. And we want as many people to see it of all different backgrounds and all different ages.
Well, The Colour of Dinosaurs is on from the 11th of May to the 9th of June 2024 at the Polka Theatre in London. And there's an audio-described performance on Friday the 31st of May at 2:30pm. And for more details, you can visit the Polka Theatre website, which is polkatheatre.com/event/the-colour-of-dinosaurs. Well, Lloyd, thank you very much indeed for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about The Colour of Dinosaurs, which sounds like an amazing show to see for all ages.
Thank you, Toby.